Shalom Aleichem. My name is Rabbi Baruch Pesach Mendelson. Those sitting in front of me know exactly who I am. I have been your Rebbe for the entire year, but I know that this recording is going out to the public concerning the Great American Eclipse of 2024 and you. Many people are looking forward to this eclipse that's happening tomorrow, Monday, April 8th, 2024. I'm sitting here in my classroom in Yeshiva with my very choshev Talmidim, who I'm sure have a lot to say about this topic as well, and I'm encouraging them, as I do during a regular shir, to raise their hands and to ask questions, which often leads to a pilpul within whatever we're learning. We like to think of the shir more as a workshop than as a lecture. On the other hand, there's a lot of material to present, which I will present more or less as a lecture. So, with the permission of the Bachrim, I will continue and begin with this shir concerning the Great American Eclipse of 2024, which Habo Aleinu Letova should be a good thing for Klal Yisrael, though, as we'll see, it's not supposed to be such a good thing for the Umos HaOlam. Let me begin very briefly by explaining the simple astronomy, without any of the math, concerning what an eclipse is, as I did in the intro shir last week, which I did to about half of the yeshiva. Imagine we have a basketball, as I have in front of me, that is quite large, representing the sun. The earth, which we're representing by a softball, which is much smaller than the sun, rotates around the sun in a counterclockwise direction. Simultaneously, the earth rotates on its axis, counterclockwise. Simultaneous with that, the moon rotates around the earth. The moon, we're using a mini hockey ball, this gray ball, rotates around the earth, also counterclockwise, while rotating on its axis in such a way that, as you all know, the face of the moon always faces the earth. We never saw the dark side of the moon till we were actually able to get machines and people behind it through rocket ships and so on. We never knew what the far side of the moon looked like. The face of the moon always faces the earth in its entire orbit around the earth once a month. The earth, of course, goes around the sun once a year. The moon goes around the earth once a month. The way that it works is that whenever the moon is facing the night side of the earth, which is the part of the earth that's away from the sun, we get to see the moon in the sky at night. It reflects the light of the sun. Whenever the moon is in between the sun and the earth, then from the night side of the earth, facing away from the basketball, it's dark, but you cannot see the moon. Hence we have Rosh Chodesh, a new moon. Whenever the moon is further away from the sun than the earth, then the moon can be seen in the night sky by the earth. But if the moon is in between the sun and the earth, then the night side of the earth sees none of the moon. And the day side of the earth can't see the moon either, usually, because the sun is so bright, you really can't see anything else that's out there. Every Rosh Chodesh, therefore, there's a possibility of what's called a solar eclipse, where the moon is in between the earth and the sun and technically could block the sun from the perspective of the earth. The reason why it does not happen on every Rosh Chodesh is because if you drew a line through the equator of the earth and the sun, you would create a plane that is known as the ecliptic. Most of the planets in the solar system are pretty close to being on that ecliptic. And so are most of the moons in the solar system, including our own moon. However, to be precise, the moon is about 5 degrees off of the ecliptic, which means that most of the time, when you have the sun and the earth, you have the moon's not directly in line with the earth and the sun. It's a little bit above it or a little bit below it. And as the moon continues to orbit around the earth, somewhere in that path, it crosses the ecliptic, but only every now and then will it cross the ecliptic when it's also Rosh Chodesh. When that happens, you have a conjunction. The sun, the moon, and the earth in a straight line, then it's possible for there to be a total solar eclipse somewhere in the world, not in the entire world. The moon is too small to block out the sun from every single point on Earth at the same time. But in what's known as the path of totality, it's possible approximately 70 times out of every century for part of the Earth, for a few hours, to have the sun completely blocked at specific parts of the Earth, where the shadow of the moon actually goes across the Earth. And that's what's going to happen tomorrow, Be'ezus Hashem, starting from somewhere in the southwest, going towards the northeast of the United States. There'll be a path of a shadow that we can see and perceive here on Earth. The reason why we're able to see that blockage of this tiny little moon, of this huge sun, is, as I said in that muscle that I gave last week, if you were to put up your finger close to your face, you can actually put it up in such a way that you can block me from your vision as I'm sitting right here in the classroom. How can your tiny little finger block out a 6 foot high person? 1 foot wide, 6 feet high, tiny little finger, 2-3 inches high, a centimeter wide? Because in the peripheral vision, as it is on your retina, when your finger is very close to your eye, it takes up as much space on the retina as that larger object that's further away. If you were to walk outside this building and put up your hand, you could not see Lake Como Pizza. That hand can block the entire building if it's at the right distance from your face. If it's a little bit further, it'll block part of the building. If it's a little to the side, it'll block part of the building. This is what creates partial eclipses versus total eclipses. If you're a little bit closer, if the moon's a little closer to the Earth or further from the Earth, a little bit to the side, you'll have a partial eclipse. It's only if it's aligned perfectly can you have a total eclipse. And what my mind is the most absolutely amazing part of this whole thing is that the proportion of the size of the sun to the moon is approximately 400 times. The sun is 400 times larger than the moon. And the distance of the sun to the earth versus the moon to the earth is also approximately 400 times. And therefore, when things line up 70 times out of every 100 years, you have the figure of the moon exactly the same size to our vision as the size of the sun. Because the sun is 400 times larger, but the moon is 400 times closer. And therefore, it blocks it precisely and creates this total eclipse. And that is the most incredible thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, that such a thing can exist. And most of the time, we don't get to see it. Because even when it does appear on Earth approximately once every 18 months, 3/4 of the Earth is covered by ocean. Who's going to see it? And even the other times that it appears over land, it doesn't necessarily appear over very highly populated areas. And it definitely doesn't come near New York City. The last partial eclipse that came to New York City was 7.5 years ago, August 2017. The next partial eclipse to come to the New York City region is a very, very, very long time from now. So this one's very special, that for most of us here, you don't have to travel anywhere. Be'ezus Hashem, if it won't be too cloudy, you'll have the special glasses, which you have to wear while watching a partial eclipse. You cannot take them off for even a second. But you should be able to see a good chunk of the disk of the sun blocked, 91% blocked, by a black spot that is the moon. And that should take place at approximately 3:25 tomorrow afternoon. And you have permission from the yeshiva to go to view that. And pretty much any time between 3 and 4 o'clock, you're going to see about the same thing here in New York City. For those of us who are meshuga and want to see this in totality, we are attempting, and there are a few people in the shir who are not here already, because they and their families have gone. I have 3 families in my shul also, who are gone but not forgotten, who are attempting to see totality. And my wife and I are hoping tomorrow to actually fly to a location where totality should last for 3 minutes and 38 seconds. And they're predicting a lot of clouds. So it's not really so clear if we're going to see it. You might actually see more of it than I will. But being that we'll be in totality, it will still turn dark. All the animals in the zoo will start going to sleep. All the birds are going to stop chirping. All the crickets are going to start cricketing. And it'll actually feel like night. So we hope that we'll be able to experience that totality, and that all of you here will be able to experience it in partiality. Either way, there is a lot to talk about, both from a halacha and a hashkafa perspective. What is this eclipse all about, and how does it, or how should it, affect you? And for that, we begin with the first page in the Maamar Makomos, which is the Rambam. That was the main point, actually, of the shiur last week. The Rambam says in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph, Hakel HaNichbad VaNora Hazeh, this great and honorable God, mitzvah le'avo le'yiro, so it's mitzvah to love, and it's mitzvah to fear him, shenemar v'yahavtas Hashem lekecha, v'nemar Hashem lekecha tira. You have to love Hashem, you have to fear Hashem. Mitzvahs d'oraisa, says the Rambam, v'heich yad derech le'avo le'yiro, so what's the way? How do you do it? How do you come to loving Hashem and fearing Hashem? Now, of course, we believe you could do that by learning Torah. We believe you could do that by doing mitzvahs. 100%, the Rambam is not excluding that. He's adding something. At the time that a person thinks about the actions of Hashem, Uberuav, and his creations, Hanifloim, which are incredible, Hagedolim, which are great, the Yira Mehen Chachmasa, and you see the Chachma, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could line up these objects, and they were created the exact proportions so that we can see such a thing. She'ein la'erech, there's no amount, v'lokeitz, there's no end. When you see that the Chochmah of Hashem is incredible, it's an infinite. Miyad hu ohev, immediately you will love, u'mishabeach, u'mifoer, that's half of Shochin Adn here, u'mishabeach, u'mifoer, u'misavetai, v'gdoi, v'trenistai, v'leida Hashem ha'godol, to know more about Hashem. This eclipse should cause us to want to know Hashem better, which comes through learning Torah. That's how we know what Hashem is. That's how we know what Hashem wants. By keeping mitzvahs, it should inspire us. There is a Ribono Shel Olam. I want to serve Him. But even though we know, Hashemayim Misaprim, quote Kel, Pasuk in Tehillim, that the Shemayim speaks of the honor of Hashem, Maisa Yodav Magid Rakia, the works of His hands are speaking to us from the skies. Marabu Masecha Hashem, how great are His actions, Kulum Chochma Sisa Moritz Kinecha. But maybe we should not be going to look at it. Because when the Pasuk tells us in Bereshis Perek Aleph, Pasuk Gedalit, make these lights to differentiate between the day and the night. Rashi says Vahila Osos means something very difficult. When the lights are struck, Simin Rahu La'olam, that's a bad sign for the world. The Gemara says in Maseches Sukkah, as Rashi quotes, right there, Chof Testament Aleph is quoted by Rashi right there in the Pasuk. If Klal Yisrael is doing good things, Ba'asoschem Rotzen HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ein Atem Tzrichen Lidog Min HaPeronos. You don't have to worry about the negative fallout from these Likui HaChamah, a solar eclipse, which means there are bad things that will happen, but if we're doing Torah and mitzvahs, it won't affect us negatively. So let's take a look at the Gemara on the next page. Sukkah of Tesman Aleph, we'll see the whole Gemara, and we'll see what this all means. Is it bad? Is it good? Is it something in between? Tan Rabbonin, Sukkah of Tesman Aleph, Bizman Shacham Aloka, at the time that the sun is smitten, Simin Ra L'chol Olam, that's a bad sign for the whole world. L'chol Olam Kulo. Marshal Mardav Adom, what's the marshal to explain this? L'melech Basav Adom, to a human king, Sha'asa Suda La'avodav, he made a Suda for his servants. V'niach Panos Lifneim, and he puts a lantern in front of them so they can see the food they're eating. Koas aleihem. He got angry for that, them, for something they did wrong. For Omar Lavdo, he says to his Eved, says to the waiter, Tol panos mipneim. Take away the lantern from in front of them. Voshiva b'choshech, leaving them in darkness. This is what happens when the sun is loket, hit. The sun goes out. Rashi says, "Bizman shacham loket." Mishum da'ayri yochav simani klala. Since the one sukkah is talking about if it rains during sukkahs, which is a simon klala, knockout law. It has this too. V'niach panas lanterna. V'yishivam b'choshech, and you'll be sitting in the dark. Kach, similarly, k'shacham loket. When the sun is smitten, eino me'iru kolkach, it's not giving as much light, which is what happens during a solar eclipse. In the middle of the day, basically the sun goes out. Continues the Gemara, Tani Rebbeir Omer, calls Manjimoros Lokin, any time that the Ma'oros, the sun or the moon, gets smitten, Simin Ral Sunem Shal Yisrael, that's a bad sign for the enemies of the Jews, which is a euphemism, it means the Jews. So it is bad for us. Why? Because the Jews are used to getting hit. Marshal is sofer. The marshal is for a teacher. Shabbat Beis HaSefer, who comes to the school, Uritzua Biyada, with a strap in his hand. Me, Doeg, who's afraid when they see the teacher with the strap? Mishirog Ilukos, the one who gets hit, the one who's a character, who gets out of his seat all the time, who talks all the time, who the teacher's going to strike. He's the one who doeg, who's afraid. So Klal Yisrael has to be afraid any time there's a likui of the Chama or the Levana. Tanur Rabbanan, Bizman Shachama Lokes Simin Ra Lo'Odei Kochavim. Here the Braisa says, if the Chama is smitten, that's a Simin Rav for Goyim. Levana, Loka, if it's a lunar eclipse, Simin Rav L'Sunem Shal Yisrael. That's something bad for the Jews. B'nei Shal Yisrael, Monin L'Levana, because we basically use a lunar calendar, but the Gochavim, L'Chama. And the Gochavim use the sun for their calendar. So since we base so much of our life on one object or the other, that's the people who it's cursing if it gets smitten. Yes.
Don't lunar eclipses happen way more often? Than
yeah, they do. Yeah, they do.
So that's a bad sign.
They would be. They would be a bad sign. Yeah, it would be a bad sign. But again, we'll see. The Gemara says if the Jews are doing the right thing, there's nothing to worry about. Okay. The Gemara says Loka b'Mizroch Simin Ra L'Yoshua Mizroch. If the eclipse happens in the east, it's bad for the people in the east. The Ma'ariv Simin Ra L'Yoshua Ma'ariv. Then to Rakiv, it's in the middle of Rakiv Simin Ra L'Chol Olam Kulo. Panav Dom and Ladom, if it looks red like blood, Cherev Bal Olam, war will come. In 1914, there was a major total solar eclipse that went over Europe. It became known as the World War I eclipse. Right at the beginning of World War I, a total eclipse. Cherev Bal Olam. Lesak, if it looks brown like sackcloth, then famine will come to the world. Lazul looks red and brown. Then you'll have war and famine come to the world. If the eclipse happens as it's going in, then Puranus, bad things, will delay in coming. If the eclipse is going out, then it'll come fast. So, without getting into the details, it can happen either way. So it doesn't matter if it's in the beginning of the day or if it's at the end of the day. The two opinions here in the Gemara say that the Puranas can happen very quickly or it'll happen sometime in the future, and the two days are opposites. You can look in Rashi to see the details. No Goyish nation gets smitten that its sar, its angel, gets smitten with it. Shnemar, v'chol lehem Mitzrayim eseh shvatim. Hashem passed judgments on all the gods of Egypt. So therefore, it's a bad thing, it seems, in the Gemara for all of the Goyim, all the goyim. Ubizman sheYisrael osin Ritzon Hashem Makom. What Rashi had quoted, when Klal Yisrael is doing the right things, Ein misyorin mikol elu, you don't have to fear any of this. Shnemar, Komer Hashem, El Derech HaGoyim Al Tzlamdu, don't learn to do the things that the Goyim do. In other words, don't do sins. We also Shmaim Al Tachsu. Don't worry about the signs in the heaven. Hiyachsu HaGoyim. Nehem all the Gochavim Yachsu, Vein Yisrael Yachsu. From these things, the Goyim are afraid, but Klal Yisrael doesn't have to be afraid. If we're doing the right things, we have nothing to be afraid of. What are those wrong things that you get punishment of the eclipses for? Tan Rabbanon, Bishul Arba Dvarim Chamaloka. There are four things that happen, apparently, to the Umos HaOlam that causes the Chama to have an eclipse. Al Av Beistin Shemes Vin Nisbet Kalocha. On a head judge who dies, and they don't properly give hespedim for him. Again, this is referring to Goyim, was the Supreme Court, the UN Court. What? It could be they're all different opinions. The Alnara Hamorosa Shetzarka Beir. A married girl who is getting raped, she's screaming, maybe in Gaza. Nobody says anything, nobody answers, nobody comes to save her. It doesn't need to be translated. And then two brothers whose blood was spilled the same day, families getting killed, a massacre. Yikes! Our world just went through this. But the eclipse isn't happening over Eretz Yisrael. It's happening here.
Oh, wait, it's happening here.
Says Rashi, Bishvil Dalet Dvorim, Lo Shamati Tam Bedover. Rashi says, I never heard a reason. What's the connection between these four things and the solar eclipse? The Achronim struggle to try to explain the connections. The next page of the Maamar Komos, the bottom left hand, the Aruch Lener, in a long exposition that goes all the way down the next page, says approximately the following. I'm not going to read it all inside. The Av Beis Din, he says, represents the sun and his mishpat, his judgments, the light. So if you give a weak hesped for a Talmud Chacham, you deserve to be put into the dark. He then says, by Nara HaMorosa, the Pasuk says, Im Zorcha HaShemesh, if it's during the daytime and she screams, so people will save her. When it's nighttime, people can't save her because they can't hear her screaming, everyone's asleep. That's just in the Lashon of the Pasuk. So therefore, over here, where you have a Nara Morosa that's raped during the daytime, and no one comes to save her, it's as if it's night. So Hashem says, I'll make it night. I'll put out the lights. But Mishkav Zohar, he says, the man is supposed to be the Mashpia. He's supposed to be Mashpia on his wife. He's supposed to have an effect on her. Positive effect. Mishkav Zohar makes a man into the Mushpa, one who gets the effect. So too, the sun is supposed to be the mashpia on the world. But now, when the sun is blocked, the sun is at best getting, but it's definitely not giving. Interesting. And what's the Shnei Achim? The Shnei Achim, says the Aruch Lener, are Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov and Esav died on the same day. Yaakov died, and the funeral procession went up to Eretz Canaan to the Maris Machpelah, and Esav protested in front of the Maris Machpelah. He protested against Yaakov, who had bought the rights to the Maris Machpelah burial. Machra Kayom es Birchos Holi. He sold them like as clear as day. Nevertheless, Esav protested. Chushim ben Dan killed him. They're both killed on the same day, and for that, there's going to be a Likui Chama. Or, says the Aruch Lener, The sun and the moon were like brothers, but the moon was diminished. After it made that comment, you can't have two kings around the world. So Hashem made the moon diminish himself. And now the sun is diminished on the same day. The moon is so diminished, it's a new moon. And the sun is now diminished on the same day. You can't see the sun. So that's two brothers being killed on the same day. This is fascinating, Rabosai. The four things are not connected to each other at all, but they all somehow connect to the sun. It's very creative. I don't believe there's any halacha here. It's imagination. The Aruch Lener is a big mechadish. He came up with good ideas. If you look on the next page, the Ben Yehoyada, Ben Ishchai, also has ideas. Fascinating ideas. I'd like to suggest two of my own. I also like to be creative. Shot number one. The lesson of the eclipse is to be a giver, not to be selfish. The Avbeisdin dying without proper hespedim is no kavodat Torah, because you don't want guidance. People just want to be selfish. They just want to do whatever they want to do. Nara Morasa, she's screaming and asking for help. But you don't care about other people. You could help, but you only care about yourself. Mishkav Zohar, there's no pruvu in Mishkav Zohar. You only care about yourself. You don't care about trying to make more people in the world, families, people to care for. Just care about yourself and your own taiva. Shnei Achim is an idea that I had that has to do with Shiluach HaKan, or with the idea, I'm sorry, of Oso V'Yas Beno, not killing a child and a mother, lamb, animal, the same day. You can't wipe out a whole family. It's like genocide. Two Achim. Who's going to do Yibum? If one Ach dies, the other Ach does Yibum. Two Achim die. There's no Yibum, there's no continuation of the family. Two Achim dying at the same time is wiping out a whole family so that you have more for yourself. Because if I can wipe out this whole family, who's going to yashin all their land? I take it. It doesn't belong to anybody. I wiped out the whole family. All these four things have the same yesod. You are selfish. You people are acting in a selfish fashion. Therefore, midah keneged midah, you lose the sun. The sun gives of itself millions of tons of hydrogen every day. Used up completely, never comes back. The sun's so big, it has enough there for a long time. But it uses it up every day. It's a giver. The sun is the ultimate giver. It never takes anything, doesn't need anything from anybody. The ultimate giver. It provides us light, provides us heat. And the selfish moon, from Sheshes Mei Bereshis, we can't have two Moris HaGadolim. The moon now goes and blocks the giving sun. Because inherently, we're still giving people, just our selfishness blocks us. Since the giving sun is still out there, and our giving being is still in there, it's possible for us to take Musa from the eclipse and recover. So that's one shot that I'd like to suggest. That's a mitzvah keneged mitzvah. These four things show you're selfish, so the selfish moon blocks the giving sun, the ultimate giver, and we can take Musa from this to be a giver. Our selfishness just blocks our inherent giving ability. And now we can decide to become givers. Yes? Yeah, of course. But within the solar system, the ultimate giver is the sun that continues to give out so much energy. Of course, it's all provided for by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are not forgetting Hashem in this equation. Don't worry about that. Furthermore, the symbolism here, my second idea, which could be easily applied not just to Jews, but also to non-Jews. The idea of civilization. And Av Beis Din represents to us Torah, but to the world it represents law and order. When an Av Beis Din is not misbid kahalacha, people don't care about law and order. people don't care about maintaining civilization. Mishkav Zohar is unnatural. It undermines nature. Can't continue the human race. Nara Hamorasa. You don't care for people you could help. You don't try to preserve the group. You don't try to do chesed for other people in your group. These are necessary parts of maintaining civilization. Shnei Achim, again, the idea of wiping out families. And therefore, we lose the sun, which provides heat and light, without which you can't build a civilized society. So this is my second idea. This represents civilization. If you act in an uncivilized fashion, you deserve to have this reminder. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just blot out the sun. What is absolutely necessary for civilization to continue. And we, Klal Yisrael, the whole world, has to take that lesson and do tshuva. To care about other people. Care about law and order. Care about civilization continuing. So Rashi says he doesn't know the reason. I'm not saying that I do. I'm making things up. But it's always good to try to take some lesson in order to take with us what's going on here. There are two major kashas on this Gemara and Sukkah Chavtes. Kasha number one is pointed out by the Ramah in his Sefer Torah Ha'olah, which is quoted, I believe, in the next page in the Maror Makomos. Unless I didn't put it in, it has Torah Ha'olah in the Chedushei Gaonim on the side of the Ein Yaakov. This is the Sefer Ein Yaakov that I photocopied. Veda, ki belakos hachamo, when you are smiting, when Hashem is smiting the sun, ein hachamo nilka ba'atzmom, it's not that the sun itself is hit. Elo oru godol ki b'shara itim, its light is just as great as all other times. Elo sheguf hayoreach mafsik beino lebein ame ha'oretz. It's just that the body of the moon blocks between the sun and the people living on earth. So this sunlight is not able to spread over the earth. It's not that the sun is damaged, punished, so to speak. It's not that nothing happened to the sun. It's just blocked. In the marshal of the lantern, the lantern was taken away. The sun's not taken away. The sun is not put out.
The point is the light that the people are receiving.
So we're not receiving the sun. The answer will be, as we'll see, it's not a matter of the sun itself. All that matters is us. From our perspective, the sun is diminished. The sun is blocked. The second question which is asked on this Gemara is, how can it be that you claim that the eclipses happen because of these averis that are being done, if, as I demonstrated to you in the very beginning of this year, it's all mathematically predictable? We know exactly when this eclipse is going to happen tomorrow. We know when the next one's going to happen. We know when the previous one's going to happen. How can it be that it's because of averis that people do that there's a punishment when it's predictable when this is going to happen? If you look on the next page, it's a nice picture of Rav Miller there. We'll look at that soon. On the bottom of the page, in the Sefer Emes Liyakov from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, he asks the question, the Gemara says that the eclipse is a bad sign for the Goyim. This is part of the natural, permanent events. Through calculations on the Yodim, we know when all the eclipses are going to happen. So how can you say that is based on a punishment for a sin, if it's all calculable, answers Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky right there in that piece, a brilliant answer. Yesterday morning, I put on my eclipse glasses at 8:30 in the morning. I went outside, it was a brilliant sunshine. I put on my glasses, and I took one nice look at the sun. The glasses are not muktzah. I'm not going to wear them in Rosh Hashanah Rabbin Zeraisa. I don't use city Erevin, even if there was one in my neighborhood. And I went to look at the sun from the porch of my house. Wow. It was brilliant. It was beautiful. That's what's going to be blocked. I feel like making a bracha right now just looking at the sun. It's unbelievable to see it with these special ISO 12312-2 filtered glasses. A few minutes later, I put the glasses back on again. I couldn't find the sun. There were clouds. The clouds completely blocked the sun. Couldn't find it. It wasn't there. You could tell where it still is. The sun is so brilliant. It was behind the clouds. Couldn't see it. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Shemachmas kisu ha'anonim, because of coverage of the clouds, l'po'omim niris ha'keshes, l'po'omim niris, when it comes to rainbows, sometimes it's seen, sometimes it's not seen. U'kamokein b'likuyim, same thing with eclipses. Sha'av sheheim al-pi'ateva, even though they are predictable, avalot tomid heim niroim, they're not always going to be able to be seen. V'neheim nirim, Oz hu simin ra. If it appears, then it's a simin ra, as the Gemara says, that it'll be a simin ra for the goyim. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, we can't predict the weather. Even if we have such a good prediction, they can tell me how much cloud cover there's going to be. But you don't know when that cloud is going to go right over the disk of the sun, and when not. You could be in a place tomorrow where they're predicting 10% cloud cover. And just as the eclipse is reaching totality, one little cloud goes over it and covers it. It might be very disappointing for all the people who flew to that area. But Lemaisa, it might mean the curse doesn't happen in that area. On the other hand, it will still turn dark. The effect of the Liga Hachama on the earth is still there, even if you can't see it. But this was Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's answer. Yes?
On the topic of
Siemens
and stuff, is an earthquake a sign for anything?
The earthquake is in and of itself something. And in Maseches Brachos, there's Rabbi Elchanan, around Afnun Ches, I think it is, that says it's a simen for Klal Yisrael to realize that the Goyim are hurting us more than they're allowed to. And that Hashem is still with us, and He will be here to protect us.
What about the Jewish people in Japan
then
that have an earthquake every other day?
It doesn't just mean for that place, it means for the whole world. It's a reminder. It's a reminder. It's a reminder. And sometimes we need the reminders. This is definitely a time period we need the reminder. But Rav Chaim Kanievsky in Derech Sicha was asked the question in 1989. There was apparently an earthquake and a solar eclipse in Israel at the same time. About the same time. They asked him if there's any connection. He said, who says there's any connection? Doesn't say that anywhere in Chazal. And if he said it doesn't say that anywhere in Chazal, it doesn't say that anywhere in Chazal. There's no such thing, no connection.
No shaykhus.
No shaykhus. It's just an amazing coincidence. What can I tell you? Rav Yonatan Apshitz, who also asked this question, how can it be that it's a simen klala based on averus? If it's something predictable, you don't have it. Rabbi Yonatan Apshitz in the Yaris Dvash answers, Likui Shemesh are not eclipses. They're sunspots. If you're able to look at the sun, and you need a filter to do that, you will notice that there are sometimes black circles on the sun, which are basically storms that are happening on the surface of the sun.
Solar flares
is a different type of thing. This is a sunspot, where it actually blacks out part of the sun.
So he said, that's a likui cham. And those are unpredictable. At least he thought so in the 1600s. That those were unpredictable. And as such, we have the punishment for what the non-Jews are doing. A lot of people don't like that answer because Lamaisa, who sees it? How many people are actually looking to see such a thing? So how much of a punishment is it? How much of a curse is it? And additionally, today we're pretty good at predicting a lot of things about the sunspots. At least as good as, or almost as good as the weather here on Earth. There is an 11-year cycle that they found on the sun with the sunspots. In fact, now it's at a high point of the cycle. That's why they're very, very excited about this eclipse. The scientists are very excited because not only does that affect sunspots, it affects solar flares, it affects certain aspects of the corona. And they claim it's supposed to be a much brighter sun at this point in time, and therefore the darkness is going to be a much greater darkness. I can't explain exactly why that's the case. Seems to me the greater darkness is because it's going to be a longer solar eclipse than usual, which is because the moon is a little bit closer to the earth than usual, therefore more of it is blocking out the sun, all this through the angles and the degrees. But that was Rav Yonah's Nebshitz. He said the Gemara is not talking about eclipses at all. The Gemara is talking about sunspots. But the Shalom HaKadosh says, what are you talking about? What's the problem? People sin. Hashem knows when people are going to sin. He knows when people need to be punished. And from Sheshes to Bereshis, he already understood all this. You're going to ask me, but don't people have Bechira? No, that's an old kasha. The Rambam already asks that kasha. The Shalom mentions the kasha. Hashem knows everything that's going to happen in the universe. We have Bechira. It's true, we choose. But Hashem knows what's going to happen. He knows what we're going to choose. That's not a stira. Says the Rambam, if you don't understand that, fine. You don't understand a lot of things about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above us. So Shalom says the same idea, that it is a punishment for the Chatoim. But Hashem knows when it's going to happen. In fact, says the Maharal Miprag, it is talking about eclipses. The ultimate cause behind the eclipse are the Chatoim, says the Maharal. And if there were no Chatoim, there'd be no eclipse. If there were no Chatoim, the eclipse wouldn't happen tomorrow. Prediction, prescription. It wouldn't happen. What do you mean it wouldn't happen? Well, you think Hashem can't do it? Think Hashem can't do it? Hashem can do anything. Hashem can do anything. Hashem can do anything. Doesn't matter. Hashem can do anything. And if you have the explanation of Yaakov Kamenetsky, it's very simple. Just has to cover it all with clouds. He can make the whole United States covered with clouds. It's not so difficult to do. In fact, there's a good portion of the United States they're predicting right now. It's going to be covered by clouds. That's what's going to happen. I remember, I believe it was 1978 or 1979, there was supposed to be at least a partial eclipse in New York City. I was very young. I had made a special box that I was supposed to be able to view the eclipse through. Yeah, the boxes. And it was cloudy. It was completely cloudy. The whole thing got ruined. That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. Says the Rama Mipanu, even though it's Teva, it's still a Simin Ra. Same thing as by the Keshes, the rainbow. In the time of the Zohar, the Tzaddikim, Rishon Bayechoi, there was never a rainbow. How does that happen? There was never a rainbow. He says the same thing. Because you don't have a photocopy. He says, because She'ilo hayazochem, hayageshem yored belailov lo beyom. If the generation had the schus, rains would only come at night, not during the day, so there'd never be a rainbow. It's not so hard to work these things out within the natural events that are around us. And to make it very clear, the Tzadik Milublin, because Tzadik writes that since the whole purpose of the world is to be lit up by the sun, the whole purpose of the sun is to light up the world, if that sunlight is blocked, then the world would not perceive it. That is the equivalent of the lantern being taken away when it's being blocked. And therefore, even though it's not put out, the blockage only has to do with what we perceive here in the world, and that's the important point. In fact, if you look back at the first page of the Aruch Lener, these two Yesodos, he really expresses very well, and I'd like to read that inside in order to conclude the first half of this year. Let's take a look at the Aruch Lener inside. The page right after the Gemara and Chavtes. Torah Bona Mizban Shal Chamaloka. Habaligim Adiv Chazal. Those who make fun of Rabbi Zeinu, Zichron Levracha, they try to find in these agadotas mokum lechonin chitzeim to point their arrows on yeser keelu on other things the Chazal say. Ratzalomar lo yadu darkei hateva, to say that the chachamim did not know nature. Shlikuya chamal vana nishava al picheshbin, that the sun and the moon eclipses happen by predictable mathematics. Lechuvim bilchoseim, they're calculable. The paths hasher chachmi hateva machashvim. Like the scientists are able to explain and calculate Terambolim before they come, that at this time, Techshach HaShemesh, the sun will go dark, or Hireach, or the moon will be blocked, Avo Be'emes, but the truth is, Hamal'igim Nilkul Bivra, these scoffers will be smitten by their own blindness. Shliyabitu Eich Razal Dibru Binin Zed. They didn't see how Rabbi Sainz Zichron Levracha wrote about this, Beloshen Chochma, with tremendous wisdom behind their language. Laharos Tashor Shlom Elamehem Zed. This is not hidden from them. The Yesh Ledaktik, Lom Omer B'chol Gilim Brises. Why does it write in all three Brises in the Gemara Chavtes and Sukkah, Bizman Shacham Loke, Kol Zman Shemoros Lokin, Bizman Shacham Loka. Why does it have that word bizman? Tahach bizman loshem yusu. That word in the time, that's extra. Tahav lele meber kishacham loka. Could have just said, when the sun is smitten. Ukshimor is lokin, when the lights are smitten. Amram bizehoru. But with that word bizman, the Gemara teaches us, Chazal teaches us, Sha'av sha'likuyim heim up yateva, even though the eclipses happen naturally. Im kolze, nevertheless, yodu api sodus, mishpate Hashem and Niklos lehem. They know through Kabbalistic things. Sha'itim vazmanim sha'likuyim heim itos adin. They knew the times that were given for eclipses were times of din to be given to this world. Sheish itos l'tova v'itos l'ra. There are times in the world that are for good, times in the world that are for bad. K'boshom rabinin k'zeh, himoros ma'oros. We darshin ma'oros, ma'oros means curses, k'siv. Doesn't have the extra vav. Shez man toli ha'ma'oros, who ace din. This time of the eclipse is the time of judgment. Shol yipo askar b'tinokos, a judgment that there shouldn't be choking, sudden infant death syndrome. Kamokain, Haitos Halikuyos, the times of the eclipses, him itos din, Lyoshim and Mako. They're times of judgment for the people in that place, Shabal Halikios, that the eclipse comes to. If the Mizrach, Lyoshim Mizrach, Mayav, Lyoshim Mayav, maybe it's having to kill Chala Olam to wherever they are in the world. L'chein Omru, therefore it says, B'chivon Bizman. It says specifically calculated Bizman in these times, Shacham Aloke, that the sun is smitten, Lomar, to teach us. Even if it comes in an exact time, nevertheless, it is a simin ra. Talking about the sign of the rainbow, even though it's something natural, nevertheless, it was given the sight of this natural thing as a good sign. That Hashem will not bring a mabul despite all the sins in the world. Therefore, the puzzle doesn't say, "Es kashti etain ba'anon." My rainbow, I will put into the sky, into the clouds. Elanosati ba'anon, I put there, past tense, perish. Kashti shekvar nosati. I already put it there. Mishesh mevareishis and meido. I testify unto now sheyelachem laos bris, that it will be as a bris to you forever. Hashem already did it in the past. He set it all in motion. V'chenin in hakan. Same thing here. The opposite. Shalikuyim shem b'teva, that these eclipses that are part of the nature, heim laos l'simin puranus, they're a sign of bad things. Al pi apratim shniftu b'rais alalu, because of the details, the bad things people did. Alumas olam ali Yisrael, even for the Jews or for the non-Jews. Alchol olam kula for everybody. V'yachud v'shaniglu ha'besod Hashem. To those things we understand through basic Kabbalistic things. This is amazing. And what we mentioned last week was that Rav Victor Miller says it even starker. If you turn back to the page that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was on, the picture of Rav Victor Miller, I bracketed in. He says, therefore,
It's not that the solar eclipse is made to happen at a time of so much fortune in Gentiles. No. The misfortune to the Gentiles made to happen at the time of the solar eclipse. The solar eclipse, that's a bad time. So Hashem gives the punishment then. Why does Hashem do it that way? In order to label it, let us know that it's the Yad Hashem. And our Klinair concludes the next paragraph. So too, the marshal from the lantern is very exact. Who is the servant that Hashem says, take away the lantern from in front of them? Why does it say he took away the lantern? Not simply say, to put out the candle. Why do you take it away? Leave them in the dark. Just put out the candle and leave them in the dark. Based on his whole understanding, we understand now. They knew that the eclipses were natural. When the moon stands in between the earth and the sun, stopping the sun's light from reaching the earth. Therefore, it's not appropriate in the marshal to put out the candle. The sunlight doesn't go out. Doesn't get smaller in and of itself at the time that it's smitten. But rather that the levana darkens its light from the perspective of those on the earth. When Hashem tells us Eved, which is the moon, that you should refrain the light of the lantern, Shemesh, which is the sun, that the servant, the moon, blocks the sun from affecting the people there on earth. So this is the idea that all has to do with what's happening with us on earth, and from our perspective, the sun is blocked, just like in the very similar to, not exactly, but very similar to the mashal that's mentioned in the Gemara. Yes?
The opinion that uses this mashal says, Zan Shechama Loke Simen Rele Cholam Kula. Why is it a bad simen for the entire world and not just like the places that it's covered where it was removed?
So if it's over the entire world, and let's say there's no clouds or anything blocking it, so it's on the entire world.
What does that mean? Isn't the eclipse only able to be seen in certain parts of the world, even like when it's...
Yeah, so you have to understand it means the entire world that it's seen. But again, if you keep in mind the weather, even if it's going on that long path of totality, some places are going to see it, some places not. So if it's not cloudy the whole way, it's the whole world. If it's in the east that it's not cloudy, the east. If it's the west is not cloudy, the west. And the weather is so different one place to the next. Once you throw in the weather, the clouds, everything makes a lot of sense. Yes?
Even if everything was not cloudy, it wouldn't go over the whole world.
It cannot mean the entire world in that sense, but it means the world that was seen this saw this eclipse. That's what it has to mean. Okay, we're now resuming the second part of the shir. Thank you very much. We're going to get more into some of the halachic aspects of it. And some of these things are very complicated, and I'm not going to be able to say with confidence that I necessarily know all the answers. Not everything's going to make perfect sense, unfortunately. We're going to try to sort things out to the extent that we can. Rav Chaim Kanievsky was asked if the eclipse is a simen ra l'chol olam kulo, how can the Gemara then say it's a simen ra l'akum? And even though the simplest answer might be they're just different opinions happening in that Gemara, in Derech Sicha and Parshas Bereishis on the Pasuk V'hoyu la'osos, Rav Chaim Kanievsky answered HaKavon l'chol olam shel akum, seeming to understand that all of the Tanoim agreed, and when it says it's bad for Kol Olam Kulo, it means all the Goyim in the world. And then it quotes a story. Harisi LaRav Shlita, the person who wrote Derech Sicha, then showed to Rav Chaim Edushos LaRav Aryeh Pinsky, the testimony of this man, Rabbi Pinsky, Shapursim of Rabim, which he publicized. The story should be used in our cotton. When he was a young boy, Mishnas Tovshin Tezvav La'erech, around 1955,
He was a little boy, and he got to learn with his grandfather, the famous Rav Eli Lapian, big Balmusser, Pehechla Yeshiva's Kamenetz Mishalayim, in the Yeshiva Kamenetz. Imo Biksham Imenu, his mother, I guess Rav Eli Lapian's daughter, asked, Ilamin Imo Parashavu, Limit the Parashav Gracious. When he got to the Pasuk of Haylos, the Modim, Lom Nishomim, Lom Nimus Harashi, Haylos, Rashi, Oros Lokim, Simon Rahul Olam, Rav Eli Lapian learned the Rashi that we saw. That when the lights of the world are smitten, a Simon Rahul will leave the world, Vachan Hivsik, he stopped. Vesiper Lo, Rav Eli Lapian said to him, Sheyom Lifnei Paretz Melchemes Olam Arishona, the day before the First World War, Hayachoshech Bechutz, there was darkness outside, Be'emzai Yom Mamish. There was darkness outside, like at night. Lamacharos, and the next day, Pirtza Hamelchoma Holamis Rishona, the First World War began. Sheshinta Sidre Olam, and the whole world got all mixed up. Doesn't say what Rav Chaim's reaction was, but. There was an actual eclipse. It was known as the World War I eclipse. It took place on August 21st, 1914, which was not the day before the World War officially started. Officially, it started when Germany declared war on Russia on August 1st, 1914, as you guys probably know. That was Shabbos Chazon, Tisha B'Av, Tafrei Shayin Dalet. But it was pretty close. And in some of the historical research I did to try to make Rav Eli Lapian's account make more sense, I found an account from a Talmud from that time named Shmuel Lifshitz, who said that the eclipse came the day before the trains took the conscripted Russian soldiers away. That happened on a Shabbos. The eclipse happened on a Friday, which is correct historically. It did happen then. And apparently in Rav Eli Lapian's mind, that's like when the war started. It's nice that Germany declared war, but when the soldiers were carted away on Shabbos on the trains, in his mind, the next day the war started. Again, recognizing news and things like that weren't like the way it was today. You're sitting in a yeshiva, you don't know exactly the day the war started. Rav Eli Lapian to say this eclipse happened about then is very, very severe. So what halachic ramifications are there for seeing a solar eclipse? In Simon Reish Chav Zayin, in Or Chaim, Shulchan Aruch talks about the bracha that's made al hazikim, which could be meteors, could be eclipses, could be both. Vukim in Kochav Ayaru Chetz Or HaShemayim. It's a star that has an arrow that comes out of it, goes down the length of the heavens, makom l'makom, and nimshachor l'kshevet, it goes like a staff. Vel radas ha'aretz, and an earthquake. Vel habrokim on lightning, vel ra'omim on thunder, vel ruchos shenoshu b'zaf, and winds that go with anger, tornadoes, hurricanes. Ha'kolechum yeh and baruch ha'shem l'kenem ha'cholom, oseh maseh b'reishis. So if, when you encountered that earthquake on Friday, which for many of you did, I didn't feel it at all, if you realize that it was an earthquake, which most people did not, they all said, what happened? Was there a train that passed by my house? Did a plane hit my house? My house is shaking. No one knew. Did the gas explode? No one knew what it was. If you recognize during or within Tochidei Dibur after the earthquake that it was an earthquake, you can say the bracha. If, as happened, I started getting texts and calls from all bunch of people when they started hearing that it was an earthquake, the halacha is you just say Baruch Ose Masiv Reishis. When there was an aftershock around 6 o'clock in the middle of Mincha, people, some did, some didn't feel that either. Similarly, you could have made the bracha if you realized what was going on. So there is such a bracha when seeing certain things that there's an osa masa bracious. If you look in Simen Reish Chof Tes, Sif Beis, Haroachama B'Tzkufaso, what we call Birchas Hacham, which happens every 28 years. We make a bracha of Ose Mase Pereshis. The question is this list in Shulchan Aruch an exclusive list that we say Ose Mase Pereshis for? Or is it a list of paradigms, of phenomena that include the bracha? But there are other examples that also a bracha can be made. Like what we call in Shira, tip of the iceberg. Are these dinim and shulchan aruch just the tip of the iceberg? On the other hand, in Simin Reish Chav Ches, the bracha of Osim Asim Bereshis, we're told, in Siv Gimel, is below a kol harim ugvaris mevarich. You don't make the bracha on everything. They have to be special. Has to be very clear. The power of Hashem. Exactly which mountains, which rivers. It's not so simple. Not so simple. And therefore, very often, when people do make these brachas, they don't say it with Shem and Malchus. They don't say it with Hashem's name because it's a suffix. Furthermore, an eclipse, the Gemara says, is a siman ra. It's a bad thing. Do you make a bracha on a bad thing? We do have a bracha in siman reish chav tes on the keshes, on the rainbow, which is a siman that there's a lot of sin going on in the world, but Hashem promised He won't destroy the world because of that. So there's like a little bit of a nice promise in there, but it really does tell us that there's a lot of bad people in the world, and therefore the Mishnah Berurah says, Simchat Aleph, Haroa Keshes, Ein Kedai LaHagid L'Chaver Sheish Keshes. It's not appropriate to tell other people, by the way, there's a rainbow. Mitamotzi Diba. You're saying bad things about the universe. Saying bad things about the world. There's sins going on in the world, so you're not supposed to tell people. If you see it, go run and get a sitter. Say the bracha, but don't tell anyone. Why are you running to get a sitter? Don't tell anybody. Shh. It would seem that the godless Habore is very nicker, even in partiality, for sure during totality. When it actually gets dark in the middle of the day, it's no less shocking than thunder and lightning, even if it's more predictable than thunder and lightning. And that's why the Chovas HaLevavos on the next page, which I also mentioned in the Shir on Wednesday, in Shar Cheshbin HaNefesh, Perek Gimel, Cheshbin Shloshav Esrim, 23, he writes, and I'm going to go back and forth from the main text of the Chovas HaLevavos to the Leif Tov, which explains the Chovas HaLevavos. HaBachinim Chomash Yesh Ba'olam, the test of everything in the world, the testing of everything in the world, Miktani Abrios Gudlan, from the biggest to the smallest things in the universe, Milo Samadabrimbo, and these great things we're talking about, Madregos Habruim Tachtono Vel Yono, the different levels of things created, the upstairs and the downstairs, Tchunas Al Galgalim, the calculations of the planets, Utnuos, and the movements of Hashemesh Vayarev, HaKachovim, of the sun, the moon, and the stars, Omdim Vahochim, which are standing or going, Vivi, the Skishamim, the rain, Nishivas Aruchos, the blowing of the wind, Yitzias Avlaim, Harechem, birth, Mashu Yosef, Niflam Yizeh, what's more of a pella than that? Vyoser Dak, Vyoser Nira, some are more seen, some are less seen, Vyoser Nistar, reply, Habore, Hamorim, Altmimus, Kochmos, Vyacholoso. This all teaches us about the greatness of Hashem's wisdom, what He's able to do. The goodness that Hashem does, what is included in all of His driving forward the world, of His mercy, all of His hashkach on everything in the world. Then he says, don't be enticed, or don't be held back, explains the Leiv Tov, from the fact that you see these things all the time, because you have so much regilus with it, that it takes away your wonderment, mayhem. From them, habachina behem, and examining them. Because you're so used to it, you just ignore it. If you look in the Leiv Tov, how he explains this in the brackets, don't refrain from having a hispilus, an inspiration from these things, and thinking about nature. You see it all the time. You're already so used to it for so long. Don't let the natural wonders be so light in your eyes, because you already know about them. Because you've seen it since your youth. Then he goes on to say that there are certain things that people don't see so often. One of them I have underlined, like an eclipse of the sun. And he says on the next page, don't be like those people who don't get it. Atalo al tia kamo, I'm still in the Lev Tov. El hisbon inachi, my brother, think about all these things Hashem created. Both by those things that you're used to, those things you're not used to. Those things you've seen before, those things you never saw before. And then at the bottom line, and don't refrain from looking into it. These things, and examining them all. Says the Chabad Lubavitch, you should be able to examine all these things, things that you see all the time, things that are irregular. What I add to this is, sometimes we can use an unusual event, like an eclipse, to wake us up, to learn to get a hispilus even from those things that happen all the time. The fact that I can breathe, an inspiration, that I can breathe. The fact that when I look at the apple that I like to eat during lunch and recognize that HaKadosh Baruch created such a thing that has seeds in it, that you put them in the ground, they become more apples. Everything and anything that's out there in the universe is beyond incredible. Just we're so used to it, we don't think about it. So when we stop and see one tremendous experience, perhaps that can wake us up and realize that there's so much more to the world. So there's a tremendous thing going on here with this eclipse, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there should be a bracha. Nevertheless, the Chofetz Chaim has equated lightning and thunder and all those things to eclipses, things that we should get hispilus from. Fine. So we should get a hispilus, we should be inspired. But technically, halakhically, is there a bracha? On the next page, from the Orchos Rabbeinu, these are the ways of our master. It's talking about the stipler of Chaim Kanievsky's father. He writes, at the bottom of the page, Likud Chamo, a Likud Chamo L'mavorchim, there's no bracha made on an eclipse. Omar Li Moriv Rabbi, the stipler says about his Rebbe, the Chazanish, his brother-in-law, Bishvat Tov Shemem, she illegally chamel chelki, there was a partial solar eclipse in Eretz Yisrael, and the stipler did not make a bracha, the Chazanish did not make a bracha. Rav Chaim Kanievsky is quoted as saying that the Chazanish's reason was because it's not a Simen Tov, rather it's a Simen Ra. And there are a few questions that are asked on this, which I've worked very hard on. One is, but it's only a Simen Ra for the Goyim. For us, it's not.
Amazing.
It's a Simen Klala for the Goyim. As I quoted from Rav Herschel Schechter, Shlita, who I spoke to, and he said, the way that they're treating us now, they're all starting to take the sides of the Palestinians, the Gazans, the murderers. They deserve a klala. It should be a klala. Dafka in this neighborhood, where in the United States, the tide seems to be turning against us. They deserve a klala. It's a Simen Ra, it's a klala. Maybe we should make a bracha. But on the other hand, we know, Masa Yadai Tovim Bayom V'atamom Reb Shira. Even by Goyim, when something terrible happens to them, we don't necessarily start singing. Now, an eclipse is not equal to Tovim Bayom, right? Even when the sun goes dark, how bad is that? In fact, they think it's cool. How bad is that? So it got dark all of a sudden. What happens in the dark? When it's really dark, in the mashal, where the melech tells the servant, take away the lantern, everyone's trying to sit there and eat. Have you ever tried eating in the dark? Do you know how big a mess that becomes? It's impossible. There's an effect afterwards. So apparently, it's not. It's to make a bracha when it's a simen klala would not be appropriate. There might be piranhas later. Might be piranhas later. Right now, there's no real piranhas. So it's possible to say kapitlach of Tehillim, to praise Hashem for such a wonderment to happen. Bracha, maybe not. Later on, something bad still happens. Maybe you can't make a bracha. But right now, nothing terrible is happening. It's just the sun got dark, got blocked. So we could perhaps still praise, like Chovas Lavov says, we can get a hispilus from it. Somebody asked the question, Kishem Shemavochan Alatov, Kach Mavochan Alara. Why can't we make a bracha just because it's ra? So what? It's ra. Why can't we make a bracha for the ra? The answer to that seems to be that we say a bracha dayan emes when there's a tangible event. Not just a prediction that some Puranus is going to happen. In other words, right now, again, with the sun, it's so terrible. So it's dark for a few minutes. It's so terrible. That's not really a tangible, terrible thing. The tangible thing is going to happen soon. The Puranus is going to happen soon, but not yet. So therefore, you're not going to make a Baruch Dayan Emes on something that is not yet ra. So even though that's the reason why we don't say a good bracha, because there's nothing there to say that bracha on, so too, there's no bad bracha that you make either. Because right now, it doesn't seem like it's such a terrible thing. Not simple. Yes? Yeah, that one was partial. We don't know if there's any difference if it's partial or total. There should be a difference. No. It's the same way it was. This is what it was. The same because. That's what the Matthias. When that happened, so then that's what the Chazanish said. Yes. We don't. We do not know. And keep that in mind because I think it's going to help us with something else. Rav Matis Blum, the author of Torah Ladas for many, many, many years, 7.5 years ago put out a special edition for the sake of the eclipse that was happening, the first great American eclipse, the one of 2017. His brother just republished it last week. He asked the Kasha that we see that there are brachas that are made by pretty disastrous events. Hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes that kill many, many, many people. If you look about Pevav and Chulin, Rashi says, Zikim v'zuos ur'omim v'ruchos. Zikim again are meteors, zuos are earthquakes, ur'omim thunder, ruchos winds, mefarsh v'brachas v'haroa daf mentes tekula meklola. All those things are a curse. And yet, we said before in Shulchan Aruch that there is a bracha that's made on these things. Sometimes it's pointed out we don't know, is it bizarre? Is it an angry wind? How strong does the wind have to be? We can't 100% tell. But definitely, the concept exists that there's a bracha of osamas and bereshis, or shakochu gvurosam ali olam, even by things that are very, very bad. Ask Rabbi Matis Blum, and he leaves that v'tzarachian. My father Shlita answered this question 7.5 years ago, and I called him again this year and asked him the same question and gave me the same answer. I didn't like that. Consistency. He did not remember that he gave that answer before. I said, by the way, Abba, that's the same answer you told me 7.5 years ago. That is, he said like this, that there are two aspects of Simen Ra. There is the Simen that something is Ra that exists right now, like a rainbow tells you a Simen Ra. There are bad people in the world. The world should get destroyed. But Hashem says, no, I'm putting up this Ospris and you're not going to get destroyed. But it's telling us it's bad that exists right now. And there's also the Simen Ra that Puranus is coming. And if you look in this Gemara, the Gemara says that the Moshul is, it's going to get dark. But the Jews shouldn't be afraid. Be afraid of what? If the whole punishment was the dark, What do you mean, shouldn't be afraid? It's dark for them too? No, it's because something else is coming. It's true that apparently the punishment might start with the eclipse. It's a little bit of a punishment, but it's really a sin. There's going to be more punishment. But Jews who are doing the right thing don't have to worry about that paranus, whatever that paranus is going to be. So my father then said as follows. When it comes to a tornado or a hurricane, the klala part of it is happening right now. The destruction is happening right now. It's too late for that. It's not good. It's all done. You have to appreciate Hashem's power. So you have to say a bracha. But if it's a siman ra that something will happen, how can you make a bracha? You're in total, absolute fear of the future. As we say, right, as we say, the threat is stronger than the execution. Very often, if something already happened, you send in all your reserves. You put in your emergency people, and you take care of it. But if you don't know where the emergency is coming from, it's shy to come from any direction, you're in total discombobulation. So here you have a siman ra, that something bad's going to happen. You have no idea what it is. You can't even put anything in place to try to stop it. There's nothing you can do. So you can't make a bracha on that type of a siman klala. That type of a siman klala where there's going to be a future to it. It's not done yet. In fact, the worst of it hasn't even started yet. So my father suggested for such a thing, a bracha cannot be made. Yes?
A meteor.
There's a bracha of Samas and Bracious.
Right, but I'm saying that's not destruction.
No, that's not destructive. No, meteor is actually a beautiful thing. Yeah, no one has any cautious for the meteor.
Rabbi, what about a nuclear bomb?
Nuclear bomb would be very bad. Yeah. There are other answers that are given to why there's no bracha. One of them is there's nothing to make a bracha on. An eclipse doesn't have a heftza. It's just the coincidence, the coincidence of one object across the path of another. It's not like a bracha you make on the Mount Everest, or on the rainbow, or the Grand Canyon, or the Mississippi River. If you make a bracha on the Mississippi River, if you see the Euphrates River, there's definitely a bracha on the Euphrates River. When you see the Pacific Ocean, for those of us listening, we see the Atlantic Ocean probably every now and then. When I went to see the Pacific Ocean, it was by my in-laws, and they told me one time they wanted to take us kite flying by the beach. It was in the middle of the winter. The middle of winter in California is not so cold. But there was no one on the beach, definitely no people improperly dressed. And they took us kite flying. Why kite flying by the beach? Because the wind comes in from the water. It's very geschmack. I love so we went kite flying. So I looked up the halacha, made a bracha. I had never seen the Pacific Ocean before. Even from an airplane, I never looked.
Rabbi, specific bracha for water?
There are all these wonderful brachas.
Rabbi, specific bracha?
But when it comes to the eclipse, that's a good question. I don't know the halacha there. My chavrus asked me that over Shabbos. I don't know, the Royal Borelius, I don't know. Yeah. The bracha can't be made on nothing. It's just a coincidence. It's not a heftza. Perhaps, also, Chazal did not want to make a bracha on something that there's sakana. To look up, to try to see the eclipse as it's happening, at least when some of it is still out, it can be dangerous. And in the days when they couldn't predict precisely how long it was going to be, then it comes back out and all of a sudden you see it, you burn out your eyes. Perhaps it was dangerous. They didn't want to make a bracha on something that was dangerous. When we make the Oseh Ma'aseh B'Reishis every 28 years by Birchas HaChama, so the poskim say you glance quickly and you say the bracha. You don't really glance very long. You glance quickly, you say the bracha. But by an eclipse, you want to see it happening. That's the excitement. You want to watch that moon go over the sun. Also, it could be that it actually is considered too rare a phenomenon. It's a milsad lo shchicha mamish. Let me explain to you why.
if you go see Mount Everest, it's always there. For you, it might be a rare experience. If you go see Niagara Falls, from the Canadian side, they say that you can make the bracha. The American side is not so posh because the engineers turned it off at one time and turned it back on. So once people get involved, yeah, believe it or not, they turned off the American Falls. They turned off the American Falls. In the 1960s, they had to clean it out. They had to repair it. It was going to fall in. The whole thing was going to construct. So we only make the bracha from the Canadian side. I've never made the bracha. The one time I was there, I was 19 years old, and I said to myself, there has to be a bracha on this. I never saw any of this in my life. I was going out of my brains. I couldn't take my eyes off of it. I was so blown away. I said, Baruch Hosam Masi Bereshis, without Hashem's name. I said, I have to say something. I didn't know what to do. I went on this whole trip with my bunk to Niagara Falls, and nobody told me if I should make a bracha or not. So then when I looked into it, when I was working in Dara Golding, they took a trip to Niagara Falls. I looked into the whole sugya. So they went to the Canadian side, so they were able to make the bracha. For the American side, the usual rule is not to. There are many people who went to Niagara to watch the eclipse, but it's probably going to be raining. No. So when it comes to a mountain, it's always there. Birchas HaChadlos once every 28 years, but it's everywhere on the earth. This idea of a partial, or for sure, a total eclipse, as I said, 70 times a century is total. Partial eclipses are worldwide, 240 times a century. And get this, to have a total eclipse in the same location once every 375 years.
Overlapping.
Is it what?
In the 2017 2034, there's one city that is overlapping.
Yes, there is one city that does overlap. It's pretty amazing. Yes. There's less than three, but again, on average, 375 years. So perhaps that's the reason why Chazal didn't make a bracha. Rav Nevinsol was asked the question. Rav Victor Nevinsol was asked the question. When it comes to the rainbow, I told you it's a dibara. You're not supposed to tell people, hey, there's a rainbow. How come we're all advertising, hey, there's an eclipse? When it's a siman ra. I see you like that, Kasha. It's good, Kasha. Said Rav Nevinsol, because it's predictable. It's on the calendar. What do you mean? I'm not telling you when it is. It's on the calendar. It's predictable. A rainbow's not predictable. And therefore, you're not supposed to advertise it. It's true, but you don't necessarily know when it's going to rain. You don't know if it's going to cause the rainbow, not cause the rainbow. You don't know.
Rav Vosner,
you can't predict that precisely. Rav Vosner was once noticed making a bracha on a waterfall in Switzerland. It was not even a major one. And he was asked. Rav Vosner was the posik of Bnei Brak for 50 years, one of the major posikim in the world. He was asked, what about making a bracha on eclipses? And he said, I'll have to think about it. That's what he said. It's recorded. I'll have to think about it. Never got back to him. So we at least have to say something about Baruch Lahakel. But then I started thinking, wait. If it's a whole Shiloh, maybe there's a bracha. So maybe I dafka shouldn't be allowed to see it, so I don't put myself into a makom safek. All the poskim say there's no bracha. It's really not really such a kasha. But then, I saw the following story. Rav Shmuel Pliskin was a rav in Baltimore who had learned in the yeshiva in Radin from 1925 to 1937. His son, Rav Zelig Pliskin, wrote a lot of books, hashkafa books, that some of you may have even read. Shmuel Pliskin, in 1962, Elul, in a journal called Beis Yaakov that was published in Yerushalayim, he wrote this article, HaChofetz Chaim Yotze Liris Belikui Chama, that the Chofetz Chaim went out to see a eclipse. And he writes in this story that on a Tuesday night, he gave a clap after Ma'ariv, gave a little speech, and then, if you look about four paragraphs down, Hashem Yisborach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made in his teva an eclipse. Because of the goyim who make mistakes, they think you worship the sun. It's coming the time for an eclipse. Mismaetes, the sun will get smaller. Laman Yodu, so we should know, Shuniver Labore, that the sun was created. It's not the creator. The creator would never allow itself to be blocked out. So it must be the sun is just a creation. That's what we see when we see an eclipse. And therefore, he says two paragraphs later by the dash, Sheyavol Liros, everyone should go see it. Zui mitzvah Liros Sechama, Loka, it's a mitzvah to see the solar eclipse. Roim Bechush, Yitzur Nivra, you see that it's just a creation, it's not the creator. And on the bottom line, Misapim Chobayas Shachovitz Chayim, top line, second paragraph, Hichriz, everyone was talking in all the houses, went around to everybody. Chavetz Chaim had announced, Zui mitzvah Liros, it's a mitzvah to see. How there's going to be an eclipse the next day. And as I continue reading through this, it mentions that Rav Naftali Trump was there. He was the Rosh Hashiva in Radin. It mentions the Mashkiach was there, but it doesn't say who the Mashkiach was. And it mentions a picture of somebody we have here on the wall. It mentions, look at the second to last paragraph. Second to last paragraph, which starts with the word Hinoch, is after the Chavetz Chaim saw the eclipse. The Achra of Reb Mendel Chosino, Reb Mendel his son-in-law, it's Reb Mendel's ex. He's in the picture right here on the wall. Picture on the wall with the Chavetz Chaim, Reb Mendel's ex right here. And the other picture we have, he was a Rosh Hashiva here of Mendel's ex. The end of that paragraph, the Chavetz Chaim went inside. He was in a mood of success, of victory. We won. The sun is not the God. It's not the creator. The sun was blotted out. He saw the eclipse. They made special glasses. In those days, they took pieces of glass and they smoked them dark. Then you put them in front and you looked. And they made a special pair of glasses for the Chavetz Chaim to wear, who at the time was a very old man. He had stepped just outside his house. They put the glass on, he saw it, and when he went back in his house, he said, You see? Ataro, last line, Ataro, now we see. Ataro, everyone sees. Ki'achame inenu ki'im yitzur nivra. The sun is just a piece of creation. You see? That was the mitzvah he saw. He didn't see the same mitzvah that I claim based on the Rambam. It's a mitzvah of V'haftas Hashem l'kecha. It's a mitzvah of fearing Hashem and loving Hashem. We saw from the Rambam, we saw the Torah. He said, it's a mitzvah to see that Hashem created the universe, not the sun. So there's a lot of talk about when this eclipse happened. Remember, there was the eclipse in 1914, the one right before World War I. But that did not happen on a Wednesday morning. This account, Leo Shlishi made the announcement, everyone should go out Wednesday morning. That happened on a Friday afternoon. So it wasn't in 1914. Also, you had to make sure that Rav Naftali was there. You had to make sure that Rav Mendel's axe was there. You had to make sure that Rav Shmuel Plitzkin was there, who saw this happen. So people did all sorts of calculations. And I did the calculations myself 7.5 years ago. This year I found people wrote the whole thing over. Look at this. Next page, I put it in English. The Chavetz Chaim gazed with awesome respect. A huge inkwell had blotched out the entire sun. Somebody translated the article. His son-in-law Rav Mendel, an expression of victory amidst a Torah is called just a mortal creation. Then in the bracket, the article does not mention the date of the eclipse. After some research, June 29th, 1927. Chavetz Chaim was nifter in 1933, so he was a very old man at this time. June 29, 1927 pretty much works. It was on a Wednesday morning. However, if you read through the article, it sounds like it was a total eclipse. And in Radin, it was not. The World War I eclipse was total in Radin in 1914. But this one was not. It was a total eclipse in Norway and Finland. In Radin, it was 75%. 75%, I remember from 7.5 years ago. You see a lot there. There's something happening. The sun is mamish blocked. It's something to see. In that account, which was written in 1962, maybe he didn't know the difference between a partial eclipse, a total eclipse. He made it sound like it was a total eclipse, but it was probably this eclipse in 1927. That's probably what happened. So the Chavetz Chaim tells us that we're supposed to see the eclipse. It's something that we should get a hispilus from, something that we should try to gain something from. And again, like Rav Schechter said, in today's day and age, it should be a simen klala for those goyim who are out to hurt us. Shabbos Ayin Hayim and Aleph. Om Rabbi Yochanan. Minayin shemitzvah la'adam l'chashiv tkufas mezalos. Where do we know that a person should calculate all these things? Shenemar, shmatim v'asisim ki chochmas minaskem. This is the wisdom l'ene amin the Jews have, that the goyim notice. Eiz chochma bina shi l'ene amin. Which chochma bina the Jews have that the goyim will notice? Have yom hazeh chishuv tkufas mezalos. That's the calculation of the moon, the calendar, the sun, all the astronomical stuff. The Jews knew it. That's called the Sod HaIbur, the secrets of intercalation, of putting together the calendar. It's very, very complicated stuff. The Jews had that secret. If you look at the Meiri, Mitzvah HaAdam, it's on that daf, in Shabbos. Person is supposed, it's a mitzvah, he says, a mitzvah, to think about the way that the stars go, to think about the different aspects. It's incredible chokhmah in knowing of the signs of the heavens, the lakos hamaoros, and the eclipses below shum shagia. It's a mitzvah to understand it without any mistake. Unbelievable. It's a mitzvah to do this. It's not just something cute, not just a joke. Says the Torah Tamima, that the simple fact that it's predictable shows that these heavenly bodies do not have a life of their own. They're not gods who can just do whatever they want. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu who set this up. So we have the Torah Tmimah that we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu set the whole thing up. We have the Chavetz Chaim. You see that this is not a god. Only the Rabbanu Shalom runs the world. It's Bechazik Armuna. Hashem is the Borei Olam. In fact, it's absolutely amazing, people. Absolutely amazing. If you see the videos, I showed one video on Wednesday. When the eclipse happens, all the goyim start cheering. If only they knew what it means for them. They don't know. It's a big party. For them, maybe it's the triumph of science. I'm in charge. I figured it out. I can predict it. But we believe that it's all Hashem. And especially the way that I told you is what I'm nispoiled the most from. The proportion of 400 to 400. It's absolutely incredible. 400 times the size, comparing the sun to the moon, 400 times the distance, moon to the earth, sun to the earth, to be in proportion like that, that it comes out like this every now and then, it's absolutely incredible. The Pasuk says at the end of Hosea, Ki yishorim darchei Hashem, the ways of Hashem are straight, tzadikim yelchu bom, uposhim yikoshlu bom. Those same things can be seen by us. The tzaddikim and chap a tremendous ispilus from an inspiration that can inspire to do more Torah and mitzvahs, to believe more in Hashem, to love Hashem, to fear Hashem. But poshim, the sinners, they trip over it, they mess over it, they don't know. The Gemara says in Brachas that Shmuel was asked, what are zikin that you make a bracha on the meteors or the comets? He says, Kochava de Shavit, it's a star that has a tail. Voma Shmuel, Nehirin li Shvili de Shmaya. It's clear to me the pathways in the heavens, Kishvili de Naradol, like the pathways in Naradol. I know astronomy as well as I know the streets in Naradol. Libar mi Kochava de Shavit, except for the paths of these comets or meteors, the Ladina knew. I don't know exactly what it is. But Shmuel was very knowledgeable in these things. There's nothing wrong with that. The Pasuk says in Nehemiah, Periktes Pasuk Vav, we say it every morning. Atohu Hashem levadecha. You are Hashem, the only God. Atoh siso es Hashemayim, Shmei Hashemayim. You made the entire heavens, the chol tzvam and all their hosts. Ha'aretz chosha aleha, the land and everything in it. Hayam chosha mehem, the seas and everything in it. Ve'atoh mechayes kulam, and you keep them all alive with tzvah Hashemayim l'chol mishtachim, and therefore they all bow to you. Says the Ralbag. And says the Malbim, it's not that Hashem set these into place a long time ago and then just let it go naturally. He's continuously doing it. He's continuously making it happen. He's continuously involved in the Metzias, and that's why Tzva Shemayim L'chol Mishtachavim. because you, Hashem, are being manning them right now. Your koach on them is right now. You're in charge of them right now. And they bow to you because you are making them all function right now. One of the things that troubled me very much about the eclipse, I didn't photocopy for you, is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says that Reb Shimon was walking on the derech and he was learning and he saw a beautiful tree. If a person stops and says, Manoe Ilon Zel, beautiful is this tree, Mala Lov Hakosuv Kilo Mischayev V'Navsho, Hischayev Misa. He was in the middle of learning, says the Rav Mibay Tanura. This is even if the person stops to make the bracha Baruch Shekochalo Be'olomo, he stops to see a tree and there's a mitzvah. There's a bracha to see a tree in his bloom. We're all going to make that bracha, hopefully, sometime around Pesach time. Even though there was a bracha, you can't be mafsik from your learning. And says the Tiferes Yisrael that even though, of course, the person's not going to be chayiv misa, but al koponim goli adaita, it shows about him she'ein eino v'libo k'shurim b'divri l'kim chayiv, his heart and his eyes were not tied to his learning. If he noticed this going on, what can I tell you, Rabosei? This is going on. It's going on. We're trying to do the best we can not to be Mevatel Torah, but the Shaila is in the middle of the afternoon Seder. By let us stop. See, and that Shaila was asked by a rainbow. If there's a rainbow going on outside, and you're not supposed to go into the base medrash and tell people, but you did, are you allowed to go outside to see the rainbow, make a bracha? You're not. So somebody tells you there's an eclipse. It's going to ruin your afternoon Seder. Uh-oh. So I know we don't have afternoon Seder, and you should know, it's Dafka during the afternoon where you don't have afternoon Seder, so I have no problem telling you all that definitely you should go and see the eclipse tomorrow to whatever amount you can. And the last two pages here, these are the tefillahs that I prepared really for the sake of let every Rosh Yeshiva decide for themselves what their Talmidim should do, but this is why the yeshiva allowed us, we don't have afternoon Seder in high school, so allowed us that we can go outside. I prepared these tefillahs. This is just completely optional. There's no mandatory tefillah or anything at all. I think it is appropriate. There's no bracha whatsoever, zero bracha. If you're going to see totality, so then, which I'm hoping to see, so the pesukim in tefillah, which we say the haluka every morning, and the pesukim in Nechemiah just read to you afterwards, the tefillah yotes and tefillah kavdalid, I was told that the chief rabbi of Israel, Rabbi Lau, suggested saying the tefillah yotes and tefillah kavdalid afterwards. The pesuk Hashemai Misabrik Vodkam Asner Rakiyah is in yotes. The pesuk of Harabim Lasech Hashem Kluv Hachuk Zmalos Necha is in kavdalid, and I'm sure Rabbi Shechter would be proud that we also bolded Yitavu Chatoy Min Haaretz Rishon Choreinu Bochi Nafse Shema Luka. And then the other parts I took from the Nusach from Birchas Hachama, which we say Kel Odom, just like some say that after Birchas Halavona every month. And then the first paragraph of Leinu, usually we have to tell you to say two paragraphs, but that first paragraph of Leinu sets it in mind that we know for a fact HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of the entire universe. We are just a small piece in that universe, and here we have an insight where the curtain is being drawn back slightly, where we can see the Bria, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates tremendous things to inspire us. We should be inspired, and we should take that inspiration to decide to dedicate our lives to HaKadosh Baruch Hu more and more and more. We should learn better. We should do mitzvahs better. That's the purpose of us going to view this solar eclipse, Bez Hashem, tomorrow.